Hey dudes, this is Michael, one of the co-hosts of Two Dudes in the Nest, the show you're about to listen to. If you are a first-time listener and you've picked one of these older episodes to listen to, maybe because it's one of your favorite games on the NES, I don't blame you. However, I just want to warn you that some of these episodes are 3, 4, maybe 5 years old. And this is before we got new audio equipment. This is really before we even knew what we were doing. But we want to leave them on the feed as long as we can because we want to have plenty of episodes for people to listen to. I just want to give a fair bit of warning before we get started. If you're an older listener and you're going back to listen to an episode again, you may hear something new because right before the episode starts here, we're going to have an advertisement, which is probably not what you heard the first time through. But now we started doing ads in our shows, so we're going to have an ad here. Anyways, I hope you enjoy. And if you do enjoy, please subscribe to the podcast and listen to as many episodes as you can. It always helps us out. And tell a friend too. That'd be nice. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everybody to the second episode of Two Dudes and a Nest. Hope you guys enjoyed our first episode about Super Mario Brothers. Today, we're going to talk about one of the old classic gems from the 80s, Pac-Man. Here with me today, of course, is the man himself, Michael.
I tell the listeners Michael because I prefer Michael, but for some reason you're a jerk and you always call me Mike. So
right, well, yeah, I sure didn't, and I just lengthened it out. So anyway, Pac-Man. We're gonna talk about Pac-Man today. Hopefully, we got some high scores from you guys. We'll talk about it a little later, and everything Pac-Man related. So
yeah,
awesome. So Mike, tell us a little bit about Pac-Man and what the history of Pac-Man.
Yeah, sure. Pac-Man actually is the year is 1980, all right? And the arcade is full of, you know, laser shooting aliens and all this stuff. And then what was that?
I don't know. I guess it was nothing. Did you email Pac-Man and tell him that?
Oh shoot.
Oh no.
Hey Pac-Man.
Hey. Did you not get the email that we sent you?
Yeah, about the... we were trying to want to cancel after the whole Mario fiasco last week, Pac-Man. Calm down. It's okay.
Truly.
Man. It's we didn't think a guest was a good idea because the Mario thing kind of blew up in her face. We like you, Pac-Man, but just we didn't want you on the show this time. Oh, just we still love you. I mean,
yeah.
Don't get all sad on us.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have you on a show some other time. Okay. All right. All right. We'll see you later, Pac-Man.
Yeah. Pac-Man would be a good person to have on the episode of like Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, would somebody get him on that show?
Yeah, you could just give him one of those big nuggets, and he's going to find those ghosts. He's hungry.
Yeah. Anyways, back to the history of Pac-Man. So the arcade was full of, you know, arcade laser alien shooters. You had Space Invaders and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden comes on the scene this little yellow guy that eats things. And it just kind of completely changed the game, and everybody thought, well, I guess it doesn't always have to be about shooting aliens, you know?
Right.
So it blows up, right? And in the first year, it sells over 100,000 units. Of course, we're talking about arcade machines here.
And this is 1980, too. This is not like today.
Right. I mean, the arcades were big in in 1980, but they
not
were just
90s
kind of,
big. 90s right. Were like the arcades.
Right. So, anyways, it comes out. And it's got a nice run, and so Tengen, whenever the okay, we'll fast forward to the NES days because we're talking about NES. We don't want to get too much into the history of the arcade because that's not what this show's about. But So when NES comes around, a company called Tengen, which actually I think is a child company of Atari. So I think they're actually part of Atari. But they get the go-ahead from Namco to release Pac-Man here in the United States on the NES. I think somebody will probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the Famicom actually had a port by Namco already. So Tengen just took that port and put it in America. But the funny thing about that is Tengen, they had like this big licensing battle with Nintendo. So they took all these Nintendo games that they wanted to release. And at first, they kind of did get a license from Nintendo, but they didn't really like the license. So the whole time, they're figuring out how to kind of circumvent Nintendo's lockout chip or whatever that made them where you had to have the Nintendo cartridge. And eventually, they do, and that's why you see all these weird black cartridges with this gold label, because that's all the Tengen versions of games.
That's the version I had of Pac-Man
Yeah,
was the black.
I've got the licensed version. Still the Tengen version, because there actually was a Namco version released later in the life cycle of the Nintendo, but
I have the black version, still do. So I don't know why I'm saying had, but I just remember as a kid thinking like, "Well, that's a cool game because it's weird, looks cool, it's black,
I mean, there wasn't
black and
anything
it's
different
sleek,
about it.
it's aerodynamic."
Yeah, there wasn't anything different about it. It's just, I mean, I guess maybe one of them said licensed by Nintendo on the start screen or something, but it really wasn't anything different about the game.
No, there wasn't really anything different about it, but other than the looks, and for a young me, like a 7-year-old me, that made a big difference in my outlook on games. It's
Yeah.
like I'm going for the black cart.
Same here. And actually, there was a question that somebody asked us on our Facebook page, and it was from Aaron Hickman. So we'll go ahead and, instead of waiting for the feedback section, we'll go ahead and ask now. Or he wanted to know which cart or which version of Pac-Man we liked the best. And he said he thinks that they're all the same except for the looks of the cart, which there's two different box arts. There's the actually there's three. There's the That there's two different Namco, or there's two different Tengen, and then there's the Namco.
I guess I would have to just go for nostalgia and say my favorite was the Tengen black cart for me.
I think mine was too, but my favorite box art is probably the Tengen that's the not the black cart. It's got the Pac-Man running away from the ghosts, and he's got
With
this.
the hat.
Did I say Pac-Man?
No, I said with the hat. With
Yeah,
the hat.
he's got the hat, and he's got the red gloves. I just think it's hilarious. His hat's about to fly
Yeah.
off.
It's like Pac-Man for a second becomes a bandit. Is he a bandit? What is Pac-Man doing? I mean,
Maybe the ghosts are actually the good guys, and Pac-Man's trying to steal all their little pellets.
that could be true. Could be true.
Yeah.
He's stealing the treasure, and they're the haunts that try to keep him from stealing the treasure.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's do a little bit of trivia on Pac-Man. I know you know some things, I know some things, but let's try to find some things that maybe people don't know. So I'm going to ask you, do you know how many dots are on each level?
Oh,
Not
gosh.
including the power pallets.
Not including the power. Well, I
Yeah.
know
There's
there's
four of them.
four of
That's, I mean,
those,
yeah.
yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have to say just I don't know.
240 on each
Nice.
level.
Nice.
There are 255 levels. Actually, there's 256. Do you know the 256 level is unbeatable, or basically unbeatable? Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because on 256, there's a glitch in the game where half the screen is covered up with just junk.
Oh, I see it. I just now pulled it up. Yeah, I see that now. That's cool.
So you can still play it, but in order to beat it, you would have to know exactly what to do and be able to avoid the ghosts without seeing them, and it's impossible.
Huh, that'd be interesting. I've never made it that far.
You haven't?
No, no. Okay, okay, now let me ask you a question.
All right.
What president wrote a letter to a young boy who, at the time in December, well, I won't say the year because I'd give it away, had broke a worldwide record of 6,131,940 points? What president wrote a letter to an 8-year-old boy congratulating him on that?
6 million?
Yeah, and it was a score only possible if he had passed the unbeatable split screen level. So this 8-year-old boy had beat the split screen level.
Yeah, because I was always under the impression that because I'm looking here on Pac-Man.com saying that there's a perfect score and it's not 6 million. But maybe there is a perfect score if you can get past 256, there's more.
Well, there was a. Well, it may not have actually happened. It just says that the boy claimed to have got this.
Oh, okay. I got you. Well,
it's only unbeatable. It was only this score was only possible if he'd made it past that level, but nobody has ever displayed the ability. So he's never actually displayed.
I got you. Let's see. I'll guess Clinton.
No, it was Ronald Reagan, December 1982.
That was going to be my second guess.
Pac-Man loved it. Ronald Reagan.
Well, I guess that brings up another thing. The maximum possible score, according to Pacman.com, was done by Billy Mitchell. Of course, the infamous Billy Mitchell. It was 3,333,360 points, and that's supposedly the maximum possible score. Do you know how long it took him to get that?
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Six hours of straight play.
That's awesome. So Billy Mitchell from Hollywood, Florida, actually offered $100,000 in 1999 to anyone who could pass the split screen level before January 1st, 2000. No one claimed the prize. So $100,000.
There was another guy who actually got that same perfect score that Billy Mitchell got, and he did it faster than him, but I can't remember his name, and it's not listed here. So.
It's David Race of Beaver Creek, Ohio, as the sixth person to achieve the perfect score. His time of 3 hours, 41 minutes, and 22 seconds sets a new record for the fastest time to obtain a perfect score. So it's interesting that the boy in 1982, he was an 8-year-old boy, Jeffrey R. Yee, claimed to have got this, and then Reagan wrote him a letter. Was like all excited, like sweet, kids awesome. And everybody's like, wait a minute, man, probably didn't happen.
Reagan,
did Reagan ask for the letter back? Can I have my letter back?
I think Reagan just quit. He just said, whatever.
He probably sent him another letter. He's like, you liar. How dare you? Sorry, my good name.
Okay, so everybody knows the names of the ghosts probably here in America. Blinky, Pinky, Inky, and Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know their behaviors? I mean, they all had distinct behaviors.
One followed you.
Yep.
It was a shadow. It's like, that's Blinky.
Yep.
One was really fast. That would be Speedy, Pinky.
And Pinky also... try to take a roundabout way to roundabout path to surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
So the Blinky Pinky combo is pretty rough combo there.
I would say that probably Pinky got me more than anybody. Inky, which is bashful, probably just useless, and because he just runs away from you.
Yeah, it says here he has random movements.
Yeah.
So.
And Clyde, who's a slowpoke, which is just kind of interesting that they made the guy named Clyde, the one that doesn't have a rhyming name, the slowpoke, the slow guy. He's the idiot.
On here, it also says that Clyde likes to wander off, which makes him less of a threat.
Well, it's funny. It's like, well, you know, what they're like, they go to the names, and they're like, you know, I just imagine, like, let's say, like, Blinky, Inky, and Pinky. Now, we need another, like, Inky, and then somebody's like, Clyde? Clyde?
First, there's somebody's like, how about Slinky? And they're like, no. Not Slinky.
You can't do Slinky. It's copyrighted. There's toy.
Yeah. What else? Well, I got a brother named Clyde. Yeah, Clyde. Clyde will work.
Clyde, yeah. But more interesting is the original Puckman in Japan. The names, I like the names over there. Of course, I can't pronounce the Japanese names. But they're Chaser, which was Shadow, Ambusher, which is pretty cool for Pinky. But then Inky is named Fickle, and then Clyde, more appropriately, named Stupid. Just Stupid.
Poor Clyde.
Yeah, it's a stupid one. Yeah. Yeah.
The funny thing is Puckman, that, you know, when it was called Puckman?
Uh-huh.
And so when they brought it over here, you know, obviously you can't have something that has a P-U-C-K in front of it. Because you put that in an arcade, any guy with a knife's going to scratch out that part of the P, and then all of a sudden you got a really inappropriate game.
Well, talking about you were going to talk about the original Puckman and how it came about, and how Japan, like, the inventor, like, wanted to base it on eating.
Yeah.
So you were telling me about what was that about the he wanted to model the game after eating.
Yeah, well, he was. I think he was in some magazine interview or something, and he said that. At the time, he saw nothing but, you know, laser alien shooters around, and he thought, you know, I want to make a game for women, so I'm going to make it about eating.
Well,
that's kind of offensive.
That is offensive, but that brings up another good point. I actually think we can blame Pac-Man for the obesity epidemic in the United States and Japan in general, because they sent this game over here and made us all fat. Yep. We had the rise in obesity starting in the 80s, culminating now, and it's all because of Pac-Man. Everybody's like, man, look at that guy go. He's just eating and eating and eating. Maybe I should do that.
It's all a part of their plan.
Yeah. Kind of like, yeah.
Speaking of eating also, do you know where the Japanese term Paku Paku Man or whatever, I think his name was like Paku Paku Man?
Yeah. Yeah,
that term actually comes from the Japanese sound for munching.
Is that the sound they make when they eat?
I guess. What's the word? I guess it's the word for the sound of munching.
Okay. So that's more appropriate.
Yeah, we don't want to offend our Japanese listeners out there, Justin.
Our one.
Yeah, I don't think we have any.
Okay. Well,
Also, speaking of food, the creators came up with the idea for Pac-Man after he ordered a whole pizza and took a slice out of it. And he looked down at it and he's like, hey, that looks like it'd be good for a video game.
To be back there in those days, it's like, God, it's the simplest thing. Oh, pizza missile based.
Can you imagine if, like, the new Call of Duty game or something is like, you know what? Let's put a bad guy in that's a pizza missing a slice.
Yeah.
I got inspiration from this pizza.
It's just round. It goes back to, like, the whole idea that it's all just fantasy. And, you know, today everything's real life. Even the fantasy games like Batman, you know, everything's just real life. Back then you had a plumber jumping through pipes. You had this circle guy eating dots, getting chased by ghosts. Definitely a different dynamic back then.
A lot of the games back then almost seemed like they were just made on acid trips or something. Because they're just so random.
Right. Pac-Man, one thing I think about when I think about Pac-Man is pizza places. Seems like every pizza place in the 90s, early 90s, when I was going around as a kid, had a Pac-Man. And it was like the Pac-Man where you sit down, it's like a table.
Yeah, it was a cocktail game.
Cocktail game, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they call them. One of the listeners actually commented on that and said that that's what they remembered most was going to, like, Pizza Hut and sitting down and playing them there.
Greasy handles.
Yeah,
it's all that amounted to.
It's hard to get a high score when your hand keeps slipping off the joystick.
Yeah.
There's also Pac-Man. Well, for one thing, Pac-Man was rewarded by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most successful coin-operated game. So there's that.
Yeah.
And then here's something I found really interesting. You know how big, like how large of a file size Pac-Man was?
What do I have?
Okay, so think about this. The average song, like MP3, is about 4 megabytes, right?
Right.
And like a 1 minute YouTube clip is about 2 megabytes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Pac-Man is, if you know anything about memory and whatnot, Pac-Man is 24 kilobytes.
Yeah.
The entire game.
Which back then it took a whole console to store that massive amount of information. Yeah. So that's interesting. Which you'd think, well, it doesn't really take a lot. You know?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, it's the same maze over and over again and stuff. So
Yeah.
Speaking of the same maze over and over again, actually, there's this really cool website that you should go to, and everybody should go to if they haven't already, called worldsbiggestpacman.com. Uh-huh. And it's you can go there and you can create your own maze, and they put them all together, and you can like scroll through these mazes and pick your own maze, and you can play all these different mazes. And there's actually like 25,000 or more levels made. There's probably way more than that by now. This is, I don't know, the last time they updated this website, but I mean, you can go on there, and there's tons of different kinds of mazes. You could spend the rest of your life playing different Pac-Man mazes. It's crazy.
Oh, wow. Cool. So a little bit more about Pac-Man. One of my favorite things about Pac-Man was the cutscenes. I loved the cutscenes as a kid.
I did, too. That was my favorite part.
Yeah. My favorite, I think it's the second one, where Pac-Man goes off and the ghost is chasing him, and the ghost gets caught on like a stick, and, like snags his outfit, and he just like stops and looks at it. That was one of my favorites.
Shows his leg.
It wasn't there one where the ghost chases Pac-Man off the screen, and all of a sudden the ghost comes running back, and Pac-Man's in like a chariot or something chasing him.
I think he's just a giant chased him.
Well, that's the first one, but like there's several cutscenes.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there is one where he's like a chariot. I can't remember them all.
Yeah, it just seems like I remember seeing that one at one time.
I think I only got to see 3 or 4 because I wasn't very good at the game. And here going back playing again, I think I only saw 3 this last time I played.
Yeah. Well, here's another little interesting thing that I read. John Romero. Did you know John Romero? He created Wolfenstein.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he actually credited Pac-Man as the game that had the biggest influence on his career. Hmm. And Wolfenstein 3D was actually similar in level design and featured a Pac-Man level from a first-person perspective.
Huh. Yeah, I guess I never thought about that. I guess it would be like that.
And Doom, I guess he also created Doom, had a similar emphasis on mazes, power-ups, killing monsters, and reaching the next level. So John Romero created those games thinking about Pac-Man.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So back on the cutscenes, one more thing. It says that it was frequently credited as the first game to feature cutscenes in the form of brief comical interludes about Pac-Man and the ghosts chasing each other around during those interludes, though Space Invaders Part 2 employed a similar technique that same year. So,
We have Pac-Man to thank for all those hour-long cutscenes on Metal Gear Solid then, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Pac-Man.
And he was, like I said, comic relief. Nothing, when you're nerves and you're sweaty and you're like, you just got chased by a ghost and you're terrified. And you go back and you get to just relax for a second and watch a little comedy. Pac-Man chasing a ghost.
That's cool. I guess we should probably start talking. I had a feeling we wouldn't talk much about the actual NES version. Because, I mean, it's just basically a direct port of the arcade. So it's not that big of a deal that we didn't really talk too much about the NES version. But I guess we should talk about us playing it. I mean, did you play it any this week?
Yeah, I played it a little bit this week, I'm not very good at Pac-Man, to be honest with you. Pac-Man's kind of an Achilles heel for me, and so I don't really get very far.
Yeah, I played it some this week. I don't remember what scores I used to get back. This is probably the first time I've played it in a really long time. I played some Miss Pac-Man recently, but it's probably been 10 years since I played Pac-Man, and I played it this week. And I feel like I got a pretty good score, but I imagine I probably got way better scores when I was a kid. Because I didn't make it very far. I got a decent score because I was able to eat all the ghosts almost every time. Because that's how you get all the points.
Speaking of Miss Pac-Man, wasn't it like the same game, but Pac-Man has a bow on his head?
Well, I guess if Miss Pac-Man was actually a hack of the original Pac-Man game,
Really?
some company was famous at the time for going in and hacking the games, changing them, and actually gotten a couple lawsuits. But Miss Pac-Man, they just took Pac-Man and hacked it, and added a bow, and added. Eventually, it ended up with different mazes and like fruit that actually moved around the maze, and it was a little bit faster. But originally it was just a hack of Pac-Man.
Cool. Didn't know that.
A lot of people prefer Miss Pac-Man over Pac-Man, but maybe I'm just a sexist. I like Pac-Man better.
Like I said, I don't really think there's a difference. I mean, is there? Is there
Yeah,
any difference other
just a
than the
little bit.
bow?
The maze is different. And I think
Oh.
there's multiple mazes, at least two or three mazes, and there's a bow.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think I've ever played Miss Pac-Man, to be
well, you
honest
should.
with you.
You may join the Miss Pac-Man camp. It's
Nope.
almost like a sequel to Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And actually, I think Midway America was waiting desperately for a sequel to come out from Japan, and that's why Miss Pac-Man kind of started up, because they saw those people doing the hacks, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do that. We need a Pac-Man. We need a Pac-Man too.
Oh, the sequels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We won't get into the sequels. There is another Pac-Man game that came out on the NES called Pac-Mania that we may get into at a much later show if we continue doing this for years to come. I don't really want to play Pac-Mania right now, but so let's talk scores. All right, I got a whopping. Are you ready? Drum roll,
I'm
please.
ready. All right.
Okay. 42,440.
Awesome. I was really close to that 3 million score, that perfect score.
Yeah.
You almost got it.
So close. Just a
Just a
few figures
few
off.
figures off. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Okay.
did you get a score?
I don't have a score, but it
I
was
win again.
if I yeah, you did, because if I did have a score, it probably wasn't close to that. Like I said, I'm not good at Pac-Man. So
Okay. Yeah, so I
I'll
was
give you
just
Pac-Man.
okay. I mean, I was only just what is that, four or five orders of magnitude below the perfect score, so I feel like I'm pretty good.
Yeah. You multiply them together and
Right, that's kind of what I'd have to do, I think. And then we got some submissions, or we've got one submission so far
Okay.
from William Culver from Arcade USA,
Yeah.
which is a pretty cool YouTube channel. Let me see if I can pull his score up real quick. I really want to say it because I beat it. Just kidding.
Ah, well.
Take that, William.
Yeah, in your face.
Let's see. I don't know. It's 37 something. It's going to take me forever to pull
Well, sorry, William. We wanted to give you the credit of being beat by Mike, but
It was 37 something, or maybe it was 39 something. It was really close to mine, just not quite there. So good try, William. And try again and beat it. You know, I don't. This doesn't have to be the end of it.
No, yeah, keep going.
People can continue to attempt my weak high score of 42,000.
Keep playing Pac-Man.
Yeah, and of course keep playing Pac-Man.
Yeah.
So I guess that'll pretty much wrap it up. Unless you want to do a couple more feedbacks real quick? We got a few minutes. We can
we can
squeeze in a few feedbacks here. Let's see.
Well, let's see here.
I'll pull up the Retro Junkies. You pull up our page if there's anything on
our
page.
All right. I think we had. Okay, we already talked about Aaron Hickman's question about which one you like better. So that's pretty much all we had on the Facebook page, I believe.
Okay, well, we've only got like 40-something likes right now, so there's not really a whole lot of...
We're still getting out there. But we got a lot of listens from iTunes. So if you guys are listening, hop on the Facebook page, give us a like, and share us, too.
Please do. That'd be great. And if you want to, write us a review on iTunes. That'd be good, too.
Good reviews.
Yeah, we actually got a 1-star. I'm not sure where that came from. But thank you, whoever did that. I'm sure you're still listening, but thank you. 1-star.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Honest, we like honesty, so if you really think we're 1-star, by all means, give us a 1-star.
You know what, though? I think that 1-star, you know what I think the 1-star was? Mario.
It probably was.
Jerk.
We're probably going to get another 1-star Pac-Man now.
Yeah. Or John. John, if you know John from Retro Thought Pod, he's probably
jealous. He's jealous throwing a 1-star on there. Okay, here we go. Okay, Rob from the Retro Junkies said, sweet, absolutely support. I emulated once, and ever since I've been trying to get my hands on the cart at the local gaming stores. So he doesn't have it for NES, but he'd like to get it. I don't blame you. I don't blame you, Rob. It's a good game.
I saw it on eBay. It was going. It was like really expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine's from my childhood, but
yeah,
I think I've seen them go for like $5. I don't know. I guess it depends on which one you're getting. Maybe like the Namco one's really rare or something.
I think that's the one I saw. I think the Namco was going for like $80.
Wow. Yeah. So maybe it's the Namco that's really rare. Just get the Tengen. Yeah. It's the same game.
Yeah.
And if you can't, get the black card because it's cooler.
It's not about collectibles. It's about playing the game.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Scott Murphy says, I played the infamous 2600 version, which we won't even get into that, but if you played the one on Atari's 2600, it's terrible. it's like ranked on a lot of websites as one of the top three worst Atari 2600 games.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Let's see. Eric Mercado says, ah, yes, Pac-Man during the days when he wore a hat.
All right.
Eric Griffin says playing Pac-Man on the tabletop in pizza restaurants in the 80s. What fun times.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Kumaki says I only played the one on the Atari. Yeah, that's.
You're doing yourself a disservice. You need to play it on the NES.
Yeah, the NES is good. Let's see, and Bill Bill, I'm going to destroy your name. Bill Szczynski? He's the one that actually, he also brought up that there was two versions for the NES, the Namco and the Tengen, and he also says that he had in his collection both the Tengen Pac-Mans and the Namco, looks like, and the Tengen Miss Pac-Man, so he had quite the collection. So that's
impressive. Awesome. Yeah.
All right, well, that pretty much wraps this up.
Let's wrap it up. Next week, well, we're going to give you a little few hints throughout the week of what we're going to be doing next week. I think a lot of fans out there are going to be excited about this one. Hopefully you've been excited about the past two.
Yeah.
or maybe you're like, well, finally they're going to talk about a good game.
Yeah. And maybe they'll be like, some people are thinking, I really wish it quit with this guest spot thing. It's really silly.
It's continuing on. It's continuing on. I like it.
Okay.
All right.
So here comes the song.
All right. See you guys next week.